a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on into the show. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Thanks for being with us Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on KSL News Radio. Alex Carey, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, always to my right. Scott, did you have a good break? It's over with, so stop it. Yes. It's over with.
Let's get back to work.
We're just going right back to it. We have no time
actually,
to mess around with
it. Actually, the break was amazing.
It is good, but the catch 22 on that was you got some time off, blah, blah, blah. But we didn't get to talk about the NFC and AFC championship games right when they happened, and we have so much to get to. And that even
it's
has to
It's almost like
wait.
They're in old news.
I know, yeah. But even that has to Tuesday. Wait. Even that has to wait now because the Utah Jazz are now 30 wins into this season. And they're humming, and Mike Connolly's back, but what's the best way to use Mike Connolly? It's all part of our 705 cut here.
The cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
He's back into it with 15 minutes against the Sacramento Kings, and that went on Saturday. And then last night, the Jazz. This was impressive to me. Because this entire win streak and everything, Scott, they had beaten the Clippers, but that wasn't that important to a lot of folks. They played so many sub-500 teams that when the Clippers or when the Pacers came into town and a good team in the East, they come in and the Jazz absolutely stick it to them last night.
What do you mean people didn't like that?
I didn't say they didn't like the win streak.
They didn't like winning against the Clippers?
People who don't. No. The Clippers were fine. That was the only one, though. Everything else was, yeah, you're on this win streak and you won. You know, 17 out of 18 because
okay. Well, how about a year ago when you play Memphis and Dallas and lose by 50?
I get it.
I'd much rather beat bad teams.
The Jazz are 30 wins now in the season, and they're tied again for that second spot in the West. They've got a couple of the teams they're sharing that with as well, but still, they are winning and they are winning big. Like last night, beating the Pacers at home in the fashion that they did. Donovan Mitchell was absolutely. Crucial in that fourth quarter, and he was awesome to watch, and Rudy's been on a tear, but it was all about getting Mike Conley back, and the question is how is Mike Conley going to be used going forward? How do you want to see him used going forward? And Quinn Snyder, the head coach, talked about that and how they're going to use different lineups with
Conley. I think,
Conley.
You know, for us, with different guys, with JC, with Mike coming back, you know, we're going to see some different lineups. And the key thing for that is, you know, whoever's on the floor, all five guys got to defend. And as they get more comfortable playing with each other, I think we'll continue to get even more efficient.
They talk about this rhythm thing. And I know this is – I don't know if this is – tell me if this is coach speak right here,
you know, Mike started to find a rhythm tonight, which was good to see. And some of those kind of run-stopping plays were some shots that he hit. But for the most part, I thought just defensively as a group – we were good.
And they've been so good without him that you wondered what was going to happen when he came back.
But when you're a really good player and you have an opportunity to take a step back and take a deep breath, it's almost like going into halftime and you come back and you just kind of you just get a chance to kind of check yourself and just say, okay, wait a minute, you know, calm down, settle down, because certainly the first part of the season was kind of spotty and challenging and I think frustrating for everyone. But I have to go back a couple of years. So being able to step back first, being able to step back is a great thing to be able to do. Yeah, you don't want to be injured, but all of a sudden he starts seeing things from a different perspective and not having the pressure, not that he doesn't handle pressure well, but you just get a different perspective, and it helps you when you come back into the game. That's one thing. But then you go back 2 years ago, and this team was kind of in the similar situation. Donovan Mitchell was a rookie. Where is he? What does he look like? And there are a lot of new faces, and they're trying to put this team together. And it was post Gordon Hayward, and he was, you know, and the team was kind of like, ugh. And I think, even though Mark Eaton said it was 10 games, I think it takes more than just 10. I think it takes a good half of the season where you really start to feel each other out and get in that rhythm and get comfortable with everything that's going on and everything that's happening. You have to make decisions that are split second. You got to trust people are going to be where they're going to be, and reading body language and understanding the different offensive sets and the defensive changes and rotations and strategy that they put in every game. That just takes time for guys to build that confidence and be comfortable with each other. And this team, I just get a feel that they've gotten that. Now, maybe it's slightly inflated just because they've been playing bad teams, but maybe it's been good that they've been able to figure that out while they're playing bad teams, to where they can now compete against these better teams in the West.
They're about 10 days ahead of schedule from their 30th win last year. Last year they got that 30th win February 1st of last year. And they were 30-23. And right now they're 30-13. I mean, they're 10 games ahead of where they were last year in terms of that win-loss. And more importantly, I think that it does make a difference to be at that top end of the Western Conference. You don't want to be having to climb yourself back in to a 6-7, you know, 4-5, you know, type situation. You want to be battling for that second spot, or maybe even that first spot. But give yourself a chance. You know, it, by the end of the season, I mean, it's going to be, and like I said, it's going to be an absolute slog of a final couple of months, because the schedule does get harder. And with the schedule getting harder and Mike Conley returning, there's going to be a lot of people who look and go, yeah, but is this the best version of them? Or is Mike Conley is the best version of Mike Conley, would you be willing to pay $33 million a year, you know, to have this guy basically be a really, really good sixth man? Rudy Gobert says you got to have Mike Conley on your team if you're going to win a championship.
You know, compete on every play, and, you know, we need him. And simple, you know, if you want to, like I keep repeating, if you want to go as far as you want to go, which is winning championship, he's a key piece of what we do.
Sorry, could you translate that for me?
Yeah, basically, Mike Conley's a key piece to everything if you're going to go win a championship.
Sure.
And I like the fact that the Jazz are talking about championships. And look, I've said this on the show before, I'm not the originalist in this thought. The Jazz were built to compete for the Western Conference title. And that's what they made these moves, not to just be, you know, kind of moving up in the standings and get to the second round, but to compete to win a title. And you see how the West is right now. A lot of teams have a shot. You know, I mean, it's not, no one's running away, but I mean, the Jazz are only 4 games out of first place, and that's not a lot. I mean, the Lakers are 34 wins, the Jazz are 30 wins, and yeah, it's, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but I like the fact that they're talking about a championship, and if all of these players play at their best, wherever that might be,
sure,
you've got guys that legitimately can score 30 points a night, and it's not one. I mean, you have 3-4 guys on your team that can do that. And the guy who I'm just really excited about, I'm telling you, is Rudy Gobert.
How good has Rudy's offense been the last few games?
He's
taking
really,
over.
Yes.
You know what I saw last night? It was awesome to see in the game. It was about midway through the fourth quarter. Rudy comes in. It was before he came out for good, because you know they were ahead by so much. He gets the ball underneath the hoop, puts the ball on the ground, and he's about mid key, and he goes up and does a little sky hook. And I was like, hold on a minute. This is your shot. This is now your shot. When you have that wingspan and you're this far over everybody else, And it just swished right in. It wasn't like it banked in. It wasn't like it needed some help from the rim. It was like, obviously, he's been working on this. Obviously, it's been a big deal. He's 22 points over the last six games that he's averaging, and that's huge for him as a psyche thing, but it's also big for the Jazz. Look, have to have that guy scoring.
When you have guys like LeBron James or Anthony Davis, or maybe you have James Harden, they're kind of at their zenith. You don't see them just getting marketably better every year. With this young Jazz team, you see Donovan Mitchell taking a huge step forward. You see a guy like Royce O'Neal. I mean, Royce O'Neal is really stepped forward. You see,
is he worth $9 million a year?
Maybe he is. I don't know.
I think he is. He has been. He's got the best 3-point shooting percentage on the best shooting team in the league.
So what you see this team continuing to develop. You haven't seen the ceiling of any of these guys yet, and so you have to get excited. Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Rudy Gobert, and then you have these other solid veteran guys like Boyan, and you have Mike Connolly that are proven commodities. I don't know where the ceiling is for this team. I mean, really. I mean,
everybody's waiting for Mike Connolly to prove it even more, though. I think we've seen it with Boyan Bogdanovic where you go, he's scored 35 points a couple of times this year. He's been in the 30s a handful of times this year. He's been lights out from shooting. Everybody's waiting for a streak of games from Mike Conley where you go, this is why they paid the $30 million plus for this guy to come into Salt Lake and make that difference. We're going to take our first break here. When we come back, now we can talk some NFL. Since we have an NFL expert in the room, what is Patrick Mahomes doing for the game of football in the National Football League? And let's talk about those plays that were made by him. What are your thoughts on the 49ers being in the big game as well? So we have our Super Bowl set. We'll get your thoughts next on our Trash Talk segment brought to you by 100 Got Junk. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. In a few minutes, KSL 5's Jeremiah Jensen is going to join us in studio. And we'll likely... Well, it's a three-way discussion. I'm trying to put this well, because we always end up kind of yelling at each other.
It's brawlish a little bit.
Yes. Speaking of brawl, I'm sure to let you know right now, Kansas and Kansas State... I haven't seen a brawl like this.
No, this is like the Knicks and whoever else.
So Kansas is winning this game. It's there. It's at Kansas's field house there. What's it called? It's like the whatever the field house is. It's got the Jayhawk in the middle of the court. End of the game. Kansas is up 81-59. It's 2 seconds left. The ball goes out of bounds on just kind of an innocuous, like the Kansas State player going up for just to make it just to play hard by the end of the game. And it ends up being a brawl into the hoop. Somebody picks a chair up. It turns into WWE pretty dang quick. And it's going to be a lot of film to break down, Scott. Well, it's going to be a lot of like.
Yeah, but normally in those situations, Alex, people don't like they fake punch, right?
These get
they're like, someone hold me back.
Right.
Because I'm not
please,
really. I'm
no,
not,
but please, really.
But these
hold
were
me
like,
back.
No, we're swinging. Yes, this is
and
stomping
gonna,
on people when they're on the ground.
Yes, this is going to be one of those that you're going to have to go over the film 1,000 times and go, right here, he picked up, he swung his fist right here, this guy. You're going to see a lot of players suspended in this. You're going to see, I hope you see the schools come down hard on this and go, look, I know that basketball's big business here in the state of Kansas, but we're going to punish all you guys who are part of this because this cannot be a part of the game. Like, just you, this is Malice in the Palace type stuff. You didn't have like fans necessarily. The fans were a part of it not by choice. It bled into that first six rows.
The fans were trying to get out of the way.
Right. It went into that first six
rows
under the hoop.
Whoa, this is serious.
This is
like,
too
this
much.
Is way serious.
So anyway, that's one you got to go and find when you get home is that Kansas-Kansas State brawl. And I don't know, you be the judge. Kick some kids out of school for that. Why not? We got to get to this next part of the show here. It's our Trash Talk segment here on KSL's Unrivaled, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they make junk disappear. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Scott, Patrick Mahomes, with maybe the most just an amazing play. And when I watched it happen in real time, we're watching it, and we're just – it was one of those hands-on-the-head moment, like, are you kidding me?
Drops back. has long and tried to make a diving tip. And Mahomes, who tiptoes inside the 10, still knocked out. Oh, what a run! Out of this world! Touchdown, Kansas City!
There were 10 seconds left in the second half. Yeah. In the
21
second
seconds.
Quarter, 21 seconds left in the, in the second quarter. It was a game-changing play, and it might have been just an absolute, just a game-changing play for the whole league.
So, a year ago, I did a series of podcasts on Helmets Off about these moments that have defined generations in the NFL. So you think of the immaculate reception and how it changed the fortune of the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the catch with the 49ers. And you think of the tuck rule where Tom
with
Brady
the Patriots,
and the Patriots. And here it looked like really the Raiders were a team that were going to kind of start a dynasty and go on a run of Super Bowls. And the minute I saw this play with Patrick Mahomes, because a year ago I said I believe Patrick Mahomes is the next generation of the NFL football. He's a guy that will kind of carry the torch, and he'll do some spectacular things, because he had. I mean, just throwing the ball a year ago was phenomenal watching him play. But that play that he did was, to me, I think it was that ushering in a new generation of NFL football, and he's the guy carrying the torch. You think of the Kansas City Chiefs and how for 50 years they have just been in exile, and they've had really good teams and they've had really good players, but they just couldn't find a way to get to that Super Bowl. And here is that guy that's kind of led them out of the darkness, like a lot of other players, Joe Montana and Tom Brady and some of these guys. And it just felt like it was that monumental moment for the Kansas City Chiefs and the NFL. And I think if you're in the NFL as a person who runs a league, or if you're a fan of the NFL, I love watching Patrick Mahomes play. I really do. I mean, and for me, that's what I get excited about, is this great quarterback play, and to watch him do the things that he did. I mean, because that what he did defies like what you're supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to get out of bounds. You're supposed to conserve time. And he just instinctively goes.
That's the thing. In the NFL, the clock just goes.
Right. And he just said, no one cuts back to the middle. Like, it's a cardinal sin to cut back to the middle.
Here's how he explained it, because if you think he just kind of got lucky, this is a guy who's not only making that play and not only making an amazing play, he's doing it with a full head of exactly what is going on.
I broke it. I was thinking about just running out of bounds, and as I got to the sideline, I realized that I could cut up, and I was running down the sideline, and I knew we had two timeouts, so I was like, I might as well try to cut it back. And so I cut it back, and luckily I was able to hang on to the ball and get in the end zone.
Luckily, I was able to hang on to the ball.
He was,
and make the most amazing
play.
They're stripping at him. They're everything. I mean, the guys who couldn't keep him out of the end zone, nobody was going to keep him out of that end zone
point. In past times, you think of some players who have fumbled as they're going in to score. It just felt like the football gods were on the side of the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid. And I think if there's a coach in the NFL who is so beloved and has been snake bitten so many times, I mean, the number of NFC championship games he's been to, and now he's finally, it's balancing itself out a little bit, and he's able to get back to a Super Bowl. And hearing Patrick Mahomes, because it's like, what do you mean? I just knew I could cut it up, because the guy was coming right at him.
Right.
And there was just this little, most quarterbacks don't think to have hesitation when you're running to the sideline, because you know people are going to rip your head off.
What other quarterbacks
you don't just stop and then kind of stop and start again.
He could at any point.
And it was a brilliant move.
I know. If any point in the play, he had gotten out of the pocket, he's about to run toward the sideline, and he runs out of bounds at any point, you would have not said a thing about it. You would have said, nice play.
Great.
Picked up the first down, got the first down, nice play.
The field goal.
If he would have got past the first down marker, slid, and then got up and clocked it, you would have gone, nice play.
He'd have to
call timeout or whatever. Yeah. You go, nice. Yeah. Okay, great. He's a heads-up play by the guy. Yeah. But he cut in, and everyone's looking at him going, okay, what's going on here? And he starts dragging people into the end zone. When you have these high numbers that are coming at you, you know, your 90s and your 95s, and a couple of linebackers coming at you trying to slap at the ball, he pushed his way into that end zone, and I just remember thinking, this is an insane play. And the idea of this guy being the future of the NFL, I'm telling you that the NFL needs Patrick Mahomes to win the Super Bowl to really, really make a difference, I think. I think for him to solidify that, and for him to, and what the NFL needs the most is for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes to really take over whatever a dynasty was that the New England Patriots had. Because we love dynasties, even though we say we hate them. We want to see a team do really, really well. And that's that hopefully is the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not even a Chiefs fan.
When you have a quarterback who can play that intuitive and instinctive, a lot of it has to do with how well he's been coached and the freedom he's been given by Andy Reid. And that's something that's unusual in the NFL.
Let's take the break. We'll argue about it with Jeremiah Jensen next when he comes in the studio about the future of the NFL. Also, the Hall of Fame votes are in. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker are in, but somehow Jeremiah found a way to complain about it. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unravel on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell.
That's selfish Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about now. And see, now with Jeremiah Jensen in the studio, we start arguing about the history of the game and everything and how Patrick Mahomes has changed the game of football. We've talked a little bit about what the Jazz lineup looks like. And let's start there, JJ, as we've got you here in studio and you're our TV colleague. And also, we just love to get you fired up somehow. So the Mahomes deal, the Mahomes play, to me, was such a huge play. And I'm watching, and other people are tweeting it out like, that was the best play I've ever seen. And then Scott came in today and said that game, that play, did you say change?
I think it's one of those generational, like, defining moments.
It's like the catch.
Like the catch, yeah. Or the immaculate reception.
For Chiefs fans, sure. Yeah.
I think it might even be the NFL. I mean, only time will tell. What they do moving forward,
yeah,
they'll point to that
moment.
They'll just
15 years from now, he's one of the all-time greats. You'll look back on that play, getting to the Super Bowl as a special moment, for sure.
You just see that the NFL has a history of having those moments, and there have been a lot of them, and they've defined generations.
Elway, the drive.
Right.
Sure. Yeah. Is this the best version of the Super Bowl that we could have gotten with what the playoffs offered us?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the cream rose to the top. I think you got the Chiefs, who offensively are dynamite, and we were talking in the break, and I don't think their defense gets enough credit. Yeah, they gave up some points and fell behind a bit in some of these games, but I thought their defense, when they needed stops in the last two games in the playoffs, they got them.
It's been enough.
You don't have to have the Chicago Bears 1985 defense when you got an offense like that.
There's something about that. When Patrick Mahomes it's like the offensive line sets him up like they're all, hey, we'll flush you to the right, all right? And here's what's going to happen. And then you just unload that cannon of an arm. And there's normally I go, ooh, like if a ball goes up in the air. But if he throws it, I'm like, ooh, like let's see where this thing ends up. And he rarely makes a downfield error.
No.
He either puts it right on the money or one of his guys goes up and makes a play.
He's
and it's
so accurate.
So fun to
he's
watch.
Not wild and doesn't do any. It's not like Brett Favre out there just gunslinging. Like, he is really measured. He's very accurate. And he's really good at what he does. You don't see him make a lot of mistakes, a lot of bad plays. And he's patient, too. He showed that in that game where, okay, I'm waiting. And then he picks the right moments. And in that great run down the sideline, he hesitated for a moment. And guys had to stop for a second. And that gave him the time he needed to make that move and get into the end zone.
And that's an uncanny move. I mean, quarterback ran to the sideline, and he does run, but he doesn't run out of like, I don't know what I'm doing. And
yeah.
I mean, he really
it's Russell Wilson kind of running.
He does. Yep. He has a great awareness of what's happening, and he's patient, and he'll select those times to beat you running. And that it's a deadly combination. And on top of that, and I mentioned it before the break, having a coach, like if I'm a quarterback, I want to play for Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes,
nobody else.
Absolutely.
I know there's some other good ones, but I mean, you have Andy Reid at his very best, and just getting that is like, oh my goodness, I would take that any day of the week. He understands how to get the very most out of a quarterback and really getting prepared and having play at a high level.
JJ, we kind of assume that we know, like, oh, we know what the demographics like here with people who cheer for NFL teams. They're either Broncos fans or 49er fans. We found out that it's
or
not
the Seahawks real. Fans.
Yeah, but
there's
found out
Cowboys it's not, fans. I mean, it's pretty mixed.
There's Raiders found that it's, fans.
That it's much more mixed than we thought.
Yeah,
there's a Cardinal fan.
Just the one.
That's more than there is in Phoenix.
It's a player that's like living here during the offseason. Yeah. So
just go to a Cardinals Cowboys game and see how many Cardinals fans show up.
But my question is, what's the best Super Bowl for Utahns? Like who does Utah want to see be the champion in the NFL?
With this
Super Bowl setup.
So if you're there's not a lot of Utes in this Super Bowl matchup. Jackson Barton is playing for the Chiefs, but he's probably going to be
Mitch
inactive.
Wisnowski.
Right.
Mitch Wisnowski, but he's a punter. But he's involved. I mean, he's a
good
name.
Point. And he's a punter.
He's the holder, too.
But if you're a BYU fan, it's
Thank
like
you.
Two of the great Cougars of the last decade. Yes. You've got Daniel Sorensen, who was – Dirty Dan was awesome, yes.
he's been awesome
in the playoffs. Just absolutely awesome. And then Fred Warner should have been in the Pro Bowl this year, in my opinion. So, if you're a local – if you love your local colleges and you watch, especially BYU fans.
Well, you have Andy Reid, too.
And Andy Reid. Who doesn't love Andy Reid? Yeah. I mean, who's not pulling for Andy Reid?
One of my favorite things that Andy Reid, we interviewed him on Cougar Sports Saturday years ago, and we saw the soundbite when we asked him. We said, hey, would you say you're listening to Cougar Sports Saturday? And he said it, and he was nice about it. He's like, go Cougs, baby. something like that. And we asked him some question, and he goes, and we asked him about, Utah, and he goes, oh, I love Kyle Whittingham. He's awesome. But deep down, he bleeds blue. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he'll tell you that, right? And it's just Andy trash talking from 1,000 miles away. Like,
I'm sure Kyle appreciates
most,
that.
Yes, the most buttoned up. Like, doesn't ever want to talk about that kind of thing ever. He's like, I'm gonna just say right now. Oh, he bleeds blue. He's a Cougar through and through, don't you? I mean, in the end, he's only got his allegiance to one school, right? I love that Andy Reid attitude because. And for BYU fans who have these ridiculous dreams of Andy Reid coming to coach at BYU at some point, it's never going to happen. But it's always fun to see him have that kind of success. So I think that I think fans of football cheer for the team that's going to put up a bunch of numbers. History tells us that if there's a lot of points scored and it's close, it ends up being a quote-unquote classic Super Bowl.
Unless you're a Chiefs fan or a 49ers fan, what do we want? We want a great game with a lot of scoring. That's decided in the last seconds.
But Sky, you said it too. You want a superstar.
I want
star power too.
You do. You don't.
Absolutely.
You don't want someone that you're going to forget in a year.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. You don't. I mean, I don't know that he's at that level because his play is not at an elite level yet.
Right.
And fans are finicky. Fans are snobbish. They want that great player and they want to cheer for him. And then later on down the road, they want to hate him. You cheer for a guy like Tom Brady when he's kind of emerging and he's this, and then later on it's like, well, I hate him.
He's polarizing.
Yeah, he just wins too much. You know? And so you definitely have to have the NFL wants that star power for sure.
JJ, some heartache that you want to let out there about, not necessarily heartache, but I guess any gripes, complaints about today's Hall of Fame votes with you've got the captain getting in, Derek Jeter, and I'm not a Yankee. And I think anybody who likes baseball goes, I'm not a Yankee fan. I mean, anybody who watches this game, they go, even if I'm not a Yankee fan, Derek Jeter represents kind of the best of what the sport represents and what it is, and loyalty and being a champion and being just an MVP. And yet he didn't get the unanimous vote into the Hall of Fame.
there's some Red Sox blogger in Worcester that says, no, I ain't giving Derek Jeter that unanimous vote there.
Hey, he's called up his buddies. He's like, hey, Fred, Jeter. I didn't give Jeter the vote. He's 99.3% because of me. You thank me. Give me a pint at the pub tonight because that was not me. So I don't know why
all the Southies are loving it,
but that represents a bit of a flaw as to what.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, if it's someone from Boston, good for them.
Look, the fact that Dale Murphy's not in the Hall of Fame tells you all you need to know about how lame the Hall of Fame selection process is in baseball. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Dale Murphy is one of the all time greats. And he was, for the decade of the 80s, one of the five best hitters in the 80s. And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
And
it doesn't make any sense.
And he did it without steroids.
And he did it clean. He did it before the baseball was juiced and before guys started taking steroids in an era where there wasn't a lot of home runs. It's just, why does, why if Derek Jeter's a Hall of Famer, why does it, It just doesn't make any sense. And some, like Larry Walker, like what changed in 10 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like Larry Walker hasn't done anything in the last 10 years to change his resume, but suddenly, you know what? All right, Larry, you're a Hall of Famer.
We like you.
You were a Hall of Famer 10 years ago then. What changed? It's stupid.
In the Skype call where he accepted the, where he talked about it, he was wearing a SpongeBob shirt.
I know.
And I thought
maybe that's why he had to wait 10 years. They're punishing him for his terrible wardrobe. Come on, Larry. Class it up a little bit. You just made the Hall of Fame.
All right. Jeremiah Jensen, KSL5 Television, here in studio with us tonight, of course, Sports Beat at 10 o'clock. What do we have on tap here for us?
There was a massive brawl at a college basketball game tonight.
We saw it up here. I thought it was like a replay of something that happened years ago or something.
No.
When was this?
It was real tonight. And it was spectacular.
It was.
And there's going to be a lot of kids in trouble.
Yes.
This is like the – it's so weird, too, to see the fans all trying to get out of the way. Like, don't touch me. Please don't touch
yeah.
me. Yeah.
It went into the crowd, guys. If you haven't seen it, I'll show you tonight on Sports
right.
Beat at 10 o'clock.
Thanks, JJ. Yep. Thanks for hanging out, man. Taking the break here. MVPs are next right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, and I'm Alex Keery. He is Scott Mitchell. As JJ walks out of the studio, well, I thought that was an inappropriate gesture on the way out.
He seemed a little dejected, didn't he? He's just kind of like, I have to go now? I have to go back to my job.
We have a fun time. We yell at each other about sports because we care, okay?
That's
Mommy and Daddy are yelling about sports because we actually love each other very much, okay?
I had a different reason, but okay. I'll go with that one. Because we care.
Arguing about sports. It's just, look, the good thing is about it is it's
for me, Alex, the yelling is
stakes are low.
I can't hear. What'd you say?
This is the place I get all the yelling out, so I don't actually have to yell at home. All right. Oh, man, we've got a lot to talk about here. We've got just a few minutes to do it. JJ was talking about the fight that happened between Kansas and Kansas State. I've watched more of this. And I cannot imagine. I mean, I could see a couple of these players being out for much more. I hope that if you're throwing punches and haymakers the way you did, there was stomping on a player while he was on the ground, kind of stuff in this big brawl that ended up happening at the end of the Kansas State game. Is it too much to kick a guy out for the rest of the season?
The reality of this, though, is this wasn't just one moment. This could have gone back maybe. Earlier in the game, it could have gone back earlier in the season.
Right.
There's a lot of talking.
It's Kansas State. And right. while Kansas and State so, is never a big,
it just,
like...
It just doesn't blow up in 1 second.
Yeah. I just, you know, I think there could be a couple guys in there you might not see the rest of the season. If college basketball was honest with itself and wanted to actually throw some punishments down and these schools wanted to be serious about it, I think the reality is, though, it's like, you know, these are big enough. Kansas is big enough of a school, they, you know, that they would probably just do some kind of a fake suspension for a couple of these guys for a minute and then be done with it. But this was barnyard brawl. And it's the kind of thing, too, where a coach gets in the middle and they don't stop. They push the coach on the ground and they keep going.
Right.
And that to me, I'm like, somebody's got to get taught a lesson here.
In basketball, the head coach never gets involved. It's always the young assistants. It's like,
could you see Coach K jumping in there?
Go take care of that.
Yeah, right now.
I don't want to.
You're about 4 years being removed from playing.
Yeah, I don't want to get involved in any of that.
You're still like a little bit strong.
It's hard. I'm just telling you though, it's hard sometimes when you have so much emotion going on, and then it just kind of erupts. Oh, and we're actually watching it.
We're watching it. I mean, you see how hard
the guy
when
he
punches.
Fouled him, and then he stands over him.
It looks weird, too, because it looks like they're on the same team, some of them, like, all fighting each other. But the stomping while you're on the ground and getting – I mean, they're six rows into behind the hoop. And, I mean, it just is absolutely ridiculous how hard the punches are that they're throwing. And I cannot imagine these games – and it's guys who aren't suited up. It's guys that are sitting out there probably with injuries and things like that. But throwing punches while they're on the ground.
I don't want to make light of it, but it is funny when a bunch of guys in suits are chasing all these guys in
and then some players going off and start getting into it with some of the fans off to the side. And, man, Bill Self is going to have to clean up this mess. This is the last thing he wants to deal with. And he has to do the post-game press conference and deal with all that. I don't envy him, but if Kansas is smart – they got to nip this thing in the bud and really suspend guys for significant amounts of time. You can't do this garbage. You're on TV, man. Everybody sees you. For that exact reason.
Yeah, but, you know, there's an internal part of it where coach goes, I like that my guys stood up for each other. I like that they – I'm just telling
come
you.
Come on. There's
what,
no way.
What do you mean, come on?
Thing.
What do you think? I don't know this?
I like the fight. I like the fight that you guys had out there for each other.
I'm just telling that's you. Stupid. They won't say it publicly, but behind closed doors –
he's not saying grow up. Look, this is going to affect our team.
In the
long run, we're missing three of our four best guys because you guys had to fight like babies.
Look, you said it was stupid. I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm just telling you what coaches say behind closed doors. They go, okay, I like that you guys got some spunk in you.
Yeah, all right. I love that there's a couple Kansas, some of the men's cheerleaders. And I started trying to get in there, trying to hold some guys back.
Yeah, right.
Hey, it's our Unrivaled MVPs. Let's get to it.
The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player.
According to Alex.
Uh-huh.
According to Scott. Most valuable player.
Honorable mention, most valuable player is the cameraman from ESPN. Getting in on that fight. I mean, he did his job, didn't he? A chair gets picked up. I mean, my goodness. But the guy... There's a couple of season ticket holders who are like,
look
please.
At that chair.
Oh, oof.
That's not good.
It's bad. But the cameraman, you know where he was? 3.5 inches from those elbows of those guys throwing punches. He was like, look, I'm not going to lose my job. You guys might get suspended. I'm not.
I'm going to catch
all this. Yeah. So that's an honorable mention. Scott, you want to start things off with your MVP
here?
Yeah,
I do. And I have to go with Patrick Mahomes. I'm just telling you, I know that it's maybe an obvious choice, but it's certainly a well-deserving one. And we've talked about him to some length on the show so far tonight. But he's a guy that from the very beginning has done things you go, that's unconventional. It breaks long-standing traditional rules. You don't throw across the field. You don't throw across your body. You don't throw late here. You don't do this. You don't scramble going down the field in the 2-minute drill, get out of bounds, conserve time. I know he had 2 timeouts left, but still time is your enemy. And he just cuts against the grain in so many different ways. And to watch what he's made normal that was not even thought of or not even considered even remotely smart. And he does it not every once in a while, but he does it just like it's a normal thing. And to see this Chiefs organization that struggled for years and to watch them down early a week ago and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, they're going to be out of this to the Texans, and then getting down early again this week to a team in the Titans that was a lot better than I think a lot of people realized, and it just didn't affect him. He just said, okay, you know, I'm going to take charge of this. I'm going to answer back. I'm going to be the solution. And he's just been an amazing solution. And a fun player that'll be exciting to watch, hopefully for years in the NFL. But it was just amazing this last week getting the Chiefs to the Super Bowl.
I think it's cool too. The Lamar Hunt Trophy is named for the owner of the Chiefs' dad. You know, like
Lamar Hunt.
Lamar Hunt is, I mean, and to have like you could imagine after 50 years, your team wins your dad's trophy. I mean, you see all these other years, other teams have been hoisting it up. You know, you have to watch all your rivals.
And it's cool
like
that it's named after your dad.
Yeah.
But it's just.
But it's also kind of a slap in the face because you don't get it for 50 years. You know, you're like, oh. But they get back after 50 years. That's pretty cool. Pretty remarkable to have that. And the Chiefs were, I'll just say too, the Chiefs were a team, when I was growing up, you're just like, ugh, I kind of hope they never really do that well. I mean, they weren't like the level of hate that I have for.
Denver?
No. Or the Browns. Oh. Where you're like, because when I was a kid, those guys weren't winning. They were getting to. They were getting pretty far, but they just were never winning. Oh, I hope they never.
Bernie Kosar when he was there, and
no, you're not going to get me on board with the Browns ever.
The dog pound.
They've just been the worst. Maybe if they get look, but what did Kansas City do? They got an awesome head coach. They have all these players that are fun to watch, and maybe if the Browns get that and not some cocky dudes at quarterback, maybe they'd be okay. All right, mine is very quickly here because we've been talking about it all day on KSL News Radio and. Across the news world, but Gail Miller and the family foundation Gail Miller and her family foundation have made a $50 million donation. $50 million to help build a health system for children. It's the new campus that's going to be down in Lehigh for Primary Children's Hospital. And we know how much Primary Children's Hospital that's already here in our community yep. means to this community. To have a second location and have – look, and it's the biggest donation that has ever been given by the family and it's well spent. I mean, that's why Gail Miller's very particular. The foundation is very particular about how they spend their money.
But very mindful of the community.
Yes, and very generous, obviously. $50 million my MVP goes to Gail Miller and the Family Foundation that they have made that $50 million donation to build the new Primary Children's Campus down there in Lehigh. So we're going to take our break. We'll come back. We got more to go. Second hour of the show next. Stay with us.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, hour number two on a Tuesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. Got a lot to get through on the show. Second hour, talked a lot about the NFL and Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl matchup that is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers in a couple of weeks. What's the benefit of the two-week just this is before I get to the cut here, Scott. What's the benefit of the two-week window? Is it just so everybody gets healthy? Is it the run-up to it? There's no benefit to me of the two-week wait.
I think what it is there's just a lot of logistics that have to get organized for teams to get places. It's more a logistics thing.
Oh, so it's a booking hotel situation? Right. Come on.
Yeah.
It's the NFL, man.
It's not just the hotels. It's just – there's a lot of other arrangements, and just making sure in the past when they've had the shorter weeks, there's just not a time.
They should do the college football thing.
The Super Bowl is so massive across the board. I mean, if you saw media row, it's insane.
Well,
just
that the
alone
entire,
and all of the
– it's an entire stadium full of just booth after booth
after booth. I'm talking about all week.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's crazy what happens there and all that's involved in it. And so, yeah. But from a player's perspective, I think I would go crazy
to wait that long.
Oh, I would. I think the first week you're just
too. Maybe if you did have somebody hurt and it's a marquee person and there's like that little bit of a chance they could get better over those couple of weeks. And
having coaches that have been through that, you know, Kyle Shanahan's been through it, Andy Reid's been through it. Knowing, because a lot of teams who haven't, they call the teams who have and they go, "How do we do this?"
The Rams last year, they were like, "We're here at the Super Bowl, man. We're just partying. Woo!" Yeah. Put up 3 points. All right, it's our 8:05 cut, though. We're going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. And, yes, they chose a couple of new Hall of Famers today. But the question is now, because as the cheating scandal starts to reach further and further out, it's not just about the teams that won those major or those World Series on the back of cheating. It's about the teams that didn't win because of the cheating. It's the 8:05 cut. We're going to talk about the old Dodgers.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
All right, so the LA City Council, which, you know, the LA
consists
City
of people from LA.
Yeah.
100%. There is a bias.
There's a bias there. Yeah. But also, it's not the most... it's not the smartest group of folks, I don't think, because this is – but that's neither here nor there. If you want to make an impact on a group that you represent, you bring up a resolution like this that has been unanimously voted on by the LA City Council, which makes no difference, of course, in Major League Baseball. But still, they make an interesting point. The LA Council has voted today officially, unanimously, that Major League Baseball should award the Dodgers – the 2017 and 2018 World Series championship rings that were awarded to the cheater Astros and the probably cheater Boston Red Sox in 2018, as the report is going to come out.
The more I thought about this, Alex.
Both teams have fired their coaches because of the scandal.
The more I think about it, the more I hear about it, the more upset it makes me.
Cheating itself, or that the Dodgers didn't win the title?
No, I think that the Dodgers, I agree with them. I'd be infuriated if I knew that this was going on and I had an opportunity to win a World Series. I just think of Clayton Kershaw, who is amazing. I mean, he's unhittable, and then magically he all of a sudden just isn't quite the same playing these two teams. I would be really curious to really go back and study this. To have that advantage, to know what the pitch is going to be before it's ever thrown, is massive. And I don't care what you say. You want to call it betting on baseball. You want to call it juicing your bat, juicing your body.
Steroids,
cheating is cheating. And it's not in segments. You know, this whole thing, Pedro Martinez came out and said, man, I'm just so offended at the guy who blew this thing up.
Told on his team.
Because, you know, he's now with another team. He was willing to accept a championship before. Maybe the guy got a conscience, you know, whatever. I mean, you can't just – I don't care. It's cheating is cheating. It doesn't matter in what form, in what way.
Look, I'm all for –
and I would be furious.
I was
the Dodgers.
And I'm all for taking the championships away from the teams that cheated. But I don't think awarding it to the team – I don't think it's like the Olympics where they're like, well, the second best time gets the gold medal – because they didn't finish.
Why
what I mean? Because they didn't win those games.
Well, they didn't win them because they cheated to win them.
I know, but this is also, I don't know. It's not like having a second place team.
What,
no.
We just won't give out a trophy to anybody.
I will not. I will not just say, and look, if you're Dodgers fans, backing into a world championship like this, you don't feel good about that either.
I don't care.
No, they don't. There's no way.
Yes, because you're going to feel vindicated. You're going to say, that's right. Justice was served.
What is going to be written on? Okay, what's written on the World Series rings then that you get?
World champion.
Asterisk.
There's no asterisk.
I was going to say, the real champions, right? I don't know. I mean, I just don't
think. The honest, true, Chase benevolent
the champions. The Boy Scout champion. No, I just think that the biggest deal about this to me is that those teams, I mean, you get exactly how these teams know that it went
Why
down
wouldn't you want
when they fire
Alex.
Their coaches. Because just put it as a black mark in the rule books. I'm not doing it because I don't like the Dodgers or something, but or in the history books, in the record books. Yeah. This needs to be.
You're not a Dodgers fan, are you?
No, it's not even about that. I feel. No. You know I hate teams when I hate teams. But the Dodgers, I have nothing really against them.
But don't – okay.
Happened to my Seahawks, if the Seahawks could be in the Major League Baseball, no. If it happened to my Mariners
– Have you ever had anyone steal from you?
Yes.
And how does it make you feel?
Really badly.
Right.
But if they stole from me and then I didn't go, I need to be
– But wouldn't you love to be vindicated?
Wouldn't
you love to find
what does
them?
That mean? Restoring those things that they stole from me?
You tell me. Yeah, vindicated.
Okay. I got my car broken into a few years ago. Right,
and you just feel violated.
Right, stole my work computer. I had a bunch of work stuff on it.
Right.
The Salt Lake County Sheriff called me up like a year later and like, we found your computer. And it was all erased and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? They returned the computer back to me like, here you go, man. I was like, awesome, thanks. And I got it back. I opened it up and I was like, this thing's gross. And I handed it back to our IT department here. And I was like, I don't want this. This is disgusting. I already moved on.
Probably the computer I got. I got your old.
gross stolen computer. So that's what I'm saying.
You don't know who they were.
No, never found out who they were.
But would you feel better if you knew who they were?
No.
And justice was
served? That wouldn't help me at all.
You're lying.
I
can look at your eyes.
What would that have done?
You're lying.
What would that have done? All they told me was we found it in a storage unit with a bunch of other stolen World Series.
I would want vindication.
But see, that vindication is different than other people getting punished.
But that's
getting a ring that you didn't really win.
Yes, you
is not. You didn't win it.
You got to the Super Bowl. The other team cheated, and therefore you won.
You back into a Super Bowl.
I don't care.
I do, and those players do.
No,
there's
don't.
No way they feel fantastic about this. Tell me about when you won the Super Bowl. Well, what happened was Grandpa didn't win the Super Bowl.
Have you never seen Uncle Rico? Man, if Coach would have kept me in, if that.
Could you imagine your kids going, Dad, you are truly a Super Bowl champion because that team cheated. And they did beat you by 3 touchdowns, but they cheated. And when they found out about it, that's cool that you got your world. Show me how you did in the Super Bowl.
We got the trash beat out of us. I was playing Little League Baseball. And we played a team from Corvallis, Oregon, mm-hmm. and they killed us. And I looked at, and they were all a foot taller than we were.
Right.
And they
this
had
is the old,
they
this
had,
is the old Dominican Republic team.
They
that
had
came to the
mustaches,
World
and it's like every time they hit the ball, they hit it out of the park.
Right.
And I went home so dejected and demoralized. They got on to the next round. They found out they were a year older than we were.
Or three.
And I was furious because I felt like I got ripped off.
Did they award you guys to go on to the tournament?
Well, no, because it was late. Yeah, it was later on in the year.
Plus, you guys didn't earn anything.
We did.
By the other team cheating and
beating
you.
But if that team hadn't been there, we would have won. I know we would.
Oh, really?
Oh, I know we would have. I have no question.
So if another American League team got to the World Series against the Dodgers, that's the whole thing is, if another American League team had gotten there instead of the Astros, would the Dodgers have beat them? The answer is we have no idea. And that's why you can't give the Dodgers the championship. You can't do it. The LA City Council is going to start doing – they're already getting the parade route figured out for where they're going to go through and award them.
I'd take a ring if I was
the Dodgers. It is pretty sad. They could have been back-to-back.
I'd take a ring if I was the Dodgers.
But you said it too. Clayton Kershaw. Think about that. This is a guy who has been amazing and on top of his game more than any other pitcher maybe in all of Major League Baseball, arguably, in the postseason. He's been tough. He's been hit off of. They've been hitting off of him. And then you go, well, is it because they were cheating or is it because he just has the yips in the playoffs? We don't know. All right. Bunch of cheaters, man. Let's take a break here. When we come back. Speaking of the Baseball Hall of Fame, you got a couple new members today in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Very particular about who they pick to go into the Hall. Two members of this class going to the Hall of Fame. But which Hall of Fame, if you could have your druthers, which Hall of Fame would you want to be at? Scott, throw out that you were in the NFL for all those years. What Hall of Fame would you want to be a part of? We'll talk about it next. Right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. Stay with me. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott, lots of NFL talk. It's good for the guy who's the former NFL quarterback today. We've got a lot of NFL talk. A couple of weeks of NFL talk, too, walking up to the Super Bowl.
You talk NFL?
You love talking NFL, bro.
He speaks multiple languages. He speaks NFL.
The Mahomes play was amazing and his just overall performance this last weekend was great. But, like, are you impressed overall by this NFL playoffs? And is this is this 49ers team? Like, you were talking about something that kind of.
I really don't. I'm not crazy about the 49ers being in there.
That's the thing is, you were talking about what you want to see in the NFL is just the top of the top of the.
Yeah.
Top notch everything. Best defenses, best, like, individual players all over the place. They're just guys who will make crazy plays in there. And
so if you took all the guys in the NFC who could have been in the Super Bowl, like Drew Brees, Russell Wilson would be the top guys for me.
So it's all about quarterbacks for you.
Yeah. Is there anything else?
Is anybody else on the field? I saw Patrick Mahomes running and 11 guys but I didn't see what
Patrick Mahomes could do in a game. And these elite quarterbacks have that ability to just have a massive impact on the game. Russell Wilson, the way he played with very little in the playoffs. I mean, if he has anything, if he has just any of his guys healthy, you know, where does that change for them? I mean, they could be back in a Super Bowl and I would love to watch a Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson Super Bowl. I'd love to watch a Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees Super Bowl. I'm not really crazy about a Jimmy Garoppolo, Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl. I'm just not. I mean, there's some intrigue in the matchup. Sure, it's great, but I just want to see those marquee players. Maybe I'm snobbish.
But that's something.
That's what you want to watch.
If you're the 49ers, though, that's like your. That's the thing that you take to you know, that bank of no one's giving us the credit. People don't like Jimmy Garoppolo. They think we shouldn't be here. So that's that locker room, like that's that bulletin board material, like people don't think that we're good enough.
Hope that it becomes motivational, but you wonder after hearing it over and over for the next two weeks if you almost make it a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I guess we shouldn't have been here.
I've just heard it so much that it's just kind of that's the way it is, and that's a real thing. And so for me, that's what would be hard as a player is to – you just have to tune all that stuff out. But when you get there – to the Super Bowl, I mean, it's just question after question after question.
And they're dumb questions,
and
too.
And it just gets annoying.
You get like
annoying.
The circus of people asking questions. They're like, what potatoes do you like? You know, just like it ends up being.
Buffalo Bills, they were so sick of hearing about, like, if you lose this Super Bowl, it will be the fourth Super Bowl you've lost in a row.
Right.
And they heard that over and over and over and over again.
30-13, and still couldn't get it down.
It impacted them in a big way.
All right. Where are we going to go on this thing? Oh, yeah. I wanted to bring this one up. Hall of Fame. So Derek Jeter and Larry Walker, your two newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. It's great. It's amazing. But is it the most prestigious of all the Hall of Fames? What about the James Naismith Hall of Fame? You become
Basketball Hall of Fame.
The Basketball Hall of Fame. What's that eye roll? What was that about? I rolled the NBA, because they don't just do the NBA, they do the basketball, like overall basketball Hall
of
Fame.
I don't even know when they have it. It's always like, oh, and by the way, we just had Naismith Hall of Fame, whoever. It seems like anyone can get in there, and it makes no sense to me. And it
seems like anybody can get in there. Come on.
I'll give you a name. Grant Hill.
Okay.
Grant Hill was inducted. And I'm like, Grant Hill was inducted in the Hall of Fame? I mean, Grant Hill was an okay professional basketball player.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he wasn't a...
Yeah, he was awesome as a...
He was awesome. He was awesome at Duke. He was an amazing college basketball player. Maybe one of the best of all time college basketball players.
Do you know where the Hall of Fame is, the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I know baseball's in Cooperstown.
Right.
I know.
Just think of where, because basketball is.
I want to say upstate New York somewhere.
It was invented in.
A peach basket.
That's right. In Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's right. Springfield, Massachusetts.
That's where the Hall of Fame is.
Yeah. And I knew that, but my seniorness just.
Forgot. Oh, you had a senior moment?
I have a lot of those.
But you can't call it that. You got to call it an NFL moment. Oh, I had a little. I don't know who's talking here.
Even baseball is like. Yeah,
baseball's amazing. Are you kidding me?
It's amazing. The Hall of Fame.
The Baseball Hall of Fame is amazing.
No, it's not.
I think because I'm a football guy too. Like, I love football. It's
the NFL
most important
Hall
thing
of Fame
to me.
And the way they do it, the whole weekend, the speeches, the whole event.
See, now that's turned into garbage for me.
Nobody does it better than the NFL.
That's turned into garbage for me. The bus don't look like them at all.
They make the bus here in Utah.
That's fine.
Did you know that?
And I don't want to offend the person who makes the bus here.
And he listens to the show every night.
No, he
I'm just telling you, he totally does.
I'm just saying, they don't look
like
them.
We should go on a road trip. It's here locally. I can get us in.
I want to see where the bus are made here, but I also want to see.
I'm not going to the Hall of Fame.
Why can't we go to Canton, Ohio, bro?
I guess we could.
They have that juicer.
I just don't.
The building looks like a juicer, doesn't it?
Right, the juicer and the blockheaded guy, the Hall of Fame, looks like David Baker, who's the president of the Hall of Fame. To me, there's no question that the NFL is. But the best part of the whole weekend is when they interview them on the game when they're on the sideline, and they've been celebrating a lot.
Oh, and they're kind of wasted.
And they're kind of free flowing.
Okay,
in their thought process.
Okay, there you go.
That's the best.
So you'd rather be in the NFL Hall of Fame of all of them. What about hockey? What about
I've heard that the lunch they have on Friday, that only the players are in.
Oh, okay.
And the conversation that goes on there, and no one talks about what's actually said.
You can't talk about it.
But they do say it is one of the most emotional things that you hear as a player. And you know at that lunch when you hear that, you go,
I made it.
I'm in something extremely special.
In terms of a fraternity.
Yeah. I mean,
in terms of history, though, baseball is the longest history. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame.
Mike Haynes, who played for the Raiders and he played for the New England Patriots, he was here last summer. I'm not dropping names, but I played golf with him. He goes, you know what's really cool? He goes, I'm on this Hall of Fame committee, and I'm on the phone, and everyone reports in. And it's literally like a who's who list of guys reporting in. And he goes, I'm sitting on the phone, and I got chills. Like, I'm having a conversation with all these guys. It's a cool thing. Sorry, I can't.
No, I get it. It's
I can't
cool.
get back. My second, though, is the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay.
In Colorado Springs.
That actually probably would be
they
pretty
actually
cool.
They actually induct, like, animals.
Oh, no, that's kind of cool.
Right, yeah, with people. Like, this really, like, famous
so
bulls.
Is Fu Manchu in there?
Probably. I'll have to look him up.
See, I think for me, I think just for
Fu Manchu,
the history,
he was in, wasn't he in Stir Crazy?
I don't know.
I think so.
With a ball named Fu Manchu. That's all I know it from. Scott, from the history perspective, Baseball Hall of Fame trumps the football one. I think Cooperstown is way more. I think it's way more cool to be in Cooperstown than it would be to be in Canton, Ohio. I mean, it's close.
Why? Please explain why.
I'm just telling you, history-wise, I think baseball has a longer history, has a cooler kind of mystique to it. The Hall of Fame itself. That's all. Look, there's no Babe Ruth. There's no Babe Ruth in football. There is none. There's nobody who is a Lou Gehrig or a Babe Ruth of baseball. I mean, of football. Name one person who comes to that level in football that there isn't, like Babe Ruth was to baseball.
Are you serious?
Who? Oh,
I can name
100
guys.
Him.
No. Ray Nitschke.
No.
Walter
nope.
Payton.
Nope.
Yes. Easily. Red Grange.
All right, we're taking the break. We got news, traffic, and
it's
weather.
Jim Brown.
Not like that.
Bodacious, Crooked Nose, Red Rock, Old Speck, Oscar, and Tornado. Those are the bowls.
We'll come
that
back. Hey, what's the best possible Super Bowl, though? And what's it going to be? What's the best result going to be for you if you're a fan watching the game? Plus a two-minute drill. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out on a Tuesday, day after a holiday. It's always tough to get back into it after a holiday, Scott. Because then you got to get back into it with the kids. And
yeah, but
know.
Some people are like, man, I can't wait to go back to work after the holiday.
That's kind of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we enjoy our job. So this is one of those times.
Yes.
Plus, we're chomping at the bit to talk about all the things that intrigued us from over the weekend. We've gotten to a lot of them so far, but I wanted to talk to you. We're already seeing the lists come out of best Super Bowls in the history
right.
of Super Bowls.
Because we have 2 weeks.
We have a couple of
we
weeks.
We've got to talk about everything.
Right, and so yes. there are things on the list of that you can tick off of the box of, okay, we were able to talk about the Super Bowl, but nothing actually important. And I went through this list that USA Today did, and I'll just give you the top. I'll just give you the worst and the best according to their list. So the worst one was Super Bowl 53, or not 53, Super Bowl. Well, you know which one it is. It's the Super Bowl that that the Seahawks
killed,
dominated the Broncos.
Peyton Manning,
and part of it was because that game in particular benefited from, or did not benefit from, rather it was. Yeah, it was Super Bowl. What is that? Oh, yeah. No, it's 53. Yeah. Or no. I don't know. 48? I'm not sure which one it was. But either way, it was.
Somewhere
I can't read Roman numerals. That's
somewhere
what I'm
between
from
45
this.
And 53.
So the deal is that there were massive expectations before this game. That's part of the problem, right? Peyton Manning's team had scored the most points in the history of the NFL that season.
Right.
They scored 8 in the Super Bowl, and the Seahawks scored 43. So you had this chasm of a score, and you had a team that did not show up offensively that you're hoping for. And so that's why it didn't turn into it.
I remember the Washington Redskins, I mean, the most prolific offense all year. I mean, they were just dominating
yes.
everyone. Joe Theismann, the Oakland Raiders basically get in as a wild card, and they're just a team that got hot at the right,
right.
time of the year
yeah.
and absolutely destroyed the Washington Redskins.
The top five of the list of games basically is a hit list of really actually very recent ones. The 2014 Super Bowl with the Seahawks and the Patriots is number 3. That's the interception thrown at the very end. The Seahawks should have punched that in with Marshawn Lynch. Number 2 is the Giants 17-14 over the Patriots that year. That was the almost undefeated season for. That was the catch from.
It was dramatic at the end. You know, Eli Manning.
And it was
some
an underdog.
Great throws.
An underdog. Yeah. You know, dethroning
and,
the
Patriots,
big one.
And the Patriots were really doing like. I mean, that was a massive like historical moment.
Sure.
Only one team's ever gone undefeated, and for them to do that. The thing for me, though, Alex, is I want this to be competitive.
Well, and that's it. And the number one, yeah. the number one game is the only OT game there's ever been, and yeah. that's the and it was a comeback, a dramatic comeback. Yeah. It was the Falcons melting down. It was Tom Brady getting the win in 2016.
But you know that game, Alex, people were done at halftime. I mean, they were like, this is a blowout game. You know, the Falcons have this. There's no way. And then everything just started going right for New England. So if you kind of got in your car or you turned off your TV. You really missed an epic game, epic meltdown by the Atlanta Falcons.
So the storylines from this game, You have 49ers and the Chiefs. What is the recipe for the best version of what the NFL can get on this game? And it's not, for me, it's not just like, it's not saying, well, it's a close game and there's some drama and it goes back and forth. It's not just that for me. I think that historically this game is going to mean more if the Chiefs win and if Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes get this win. And I tell me if I'm just saying this as a guy who doesn't like the 49ers and never really has. But does that sound right to you?
It's not a question about whether the NFL, you know, whether you like the 49ers or not. It's really about who can carry the torch for the NFL. And really, if the 49ers win, it's going to be because of their defense. And their defense doesn't really have a star.
Right.
It's the no-name defense kind of version of things. And they're a great defense. I mean, they've played amazing all
year.
One of
the best, yeah.
But you're not going to win on the shoulders of Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, and he's done a tremendous job. They've had a winning season. A tremendous job in that.
He's thrown 17 passes in the last two games to get to the Super Bowl.
But the job he's done is they're in the Super Bowl, and someone has to be engineering
sure,
that.
Okay.
Look, the quarterback touches the ball a lot in the game, and he can have a huge impact.
Does that mean
in the
Trent Dilfer won the Super Bowl for the Ravens?
No, but he did. I mean, he made enough plays to get there. So
to keep him in it too.
But what you're saying is my point exactly. Is the NFL wants a star. They need a star. They need to move into this next generation where Tom Brady's not there. You saw, you know, Aaron Rodgers is kind of falling off. All of these guys, Drew Brees, they all went by the wayside in these playoffs, and they're fading fast. You know, they're not going to be that many more opportunities, and you've got this amazingly dynamic player in Patrick Mahomes, and he's just incredible. And he's the guy that the NFL can really wrap its arms around, as well as Andy Reid. I mean, if there's probably a coach in the NFL right now who isn't more respected, maybe Pete Carroll, I don't know, but people love Andy Reid.
There's also a story of redemption in there, too, because Kyle Shanahan is the guy who was the offensive mind that was part of the meltdown that the Falcons had. He was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons when they did not run the football back then, did not kind of, you know, everyone questioned at the end. Of course, it was easy to when it was 28-3, and everyone goes, why'd you run that when it was 28-3? It's like, we were up 3.5 touchdowns. Like, come on. Of course you're going to just kind of do whatever you want with your offense at that point. But he was criticized for that. He said he beat himself up over it. So there's a redemption story with that. I think it's more interesting, just like you said. If it's a close game, great. But I think really what they want to see is Patrick Mahomes go off. When I say they, I just mean the average. Look, there's hardly any real Chiefs fans out there.
The coronation of the next superstar, no question.
There are hardly any real Chiefs fans out there that aren't like, you know, look, Utah's got 49ers fans. They've got Broncos fans for kind of obvious reasons. We have a handful of Chiefs fans like in the building and maybe around here. And I know there's some people going yelling at the radio going, I'm a Chiefs fan. I've been for life. But you're the minority, right? I mean, this is not a team that historically has been fun to cheer for, has been exciting, that you ever thought to yourself, wow, what a fun team that you want to see win. They were typically an arch rival to the Broncos, who a lot of people around here cheer for. And so there's a reason to love this team.
But there's not a better place, not better fans than in Kansas City. And they have been long-suffering. I mean, the 49ers, look, they've won 5 Super Bowls.
Right.
You don't really there's not that compassion. And that's part of, for me, I want to cheer. I don't know if you want to call them the underdog or just the team that you kind of have more compassion for. They've had a lot of years where they've had good football teams and they've just never been able to kind of get over the hump.
You know what I've loved seeing today is all the people that go, the Chiefs are like, finally we're back. I didn't think I'd be alive to see us go back. And then they were like, and then they said, and then like I was watching an online discussion with it, and somebody just wrote on their thing, enter Browns fan has entered the discussion, like where they're like, excuse me, Detroit Lions fan has entered the discussion, hello. And there is a thing about, it's like we want teams to like stay down and never win, I think, in a way. Like, I don't ever want to see the Browns win.
There's no reason
for them to ever see them win. The Lions, whatever, you know. But there's something about this Chiefs team
you need to understand about the Lions, though. The Lions, there was a time when the Lions were popular. I mean, the Lions winning championships in the 50s was a big deal.
Right.
But now you look at the Lions and you just go, they've lost for so many years.
And you're almost to that point with the Chiefs. I don't think it's that way with the Chiefs. It is with the Browns. It could be with the Lions.
The Chiefs have like an exciting – they've got these guys who are absolutely like in your face, in the camera's face. They score a bunch. They have this young gun quarterback. They have a like the old school head coach. It's got the mustache and looks like he looks like Mike Holmgren. I mean, I know he's like a disciple of Mike Holmgren too. And they have
the
like
older
kind of
he gets, the more he looks like.
Yes, yeah. It's like the walrus. So he starts to have like this. Any of these guys that have any sort of Lavelle Edwards, coaching tree, anything, start to cheer out.
My
cheer
favorite
for
part
rather.
Of Andy Reid was him kind of waddling up the sideline, holding his red challenge flag, and he just kind of holding it, and he's just kind of holding it, and he gets further out, and then he just kind of, and he doesn't even throw it. He just tosses it.
He
just kind of tosses
it. It was like
it on
a piece of litter.
Just like, yeah, okay, we'll give this one a shot here, and they won it, so it was a good thing. But so if you're the NFL, you're cheering for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and if you're a fan, I think most people will be as well.
We're going to be watching, certainly. All right, taking the break. We've got more to go here. We've got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Changes to the NFL draft that have already kind of made it like a circus, or more like a Cirque du Soleil. So stay with us. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, expert rib connoisseur Scott Mitchell in the studio.
Pretty good.
How many of our off-air discussions have gone the direction of food during the breaks that we've
had?
It's
really more how many haven't. It would be easier to count the ones that have. There's consumption of food. There's discussion of food. There's daydreaming of food. And there's usually some sounds of previous food. Both ends. It comes out both
Come
ends.
It's a family show.
Well, it's a family show.
Mitchell.
Listen. Little kids don't do that kind of thing. Come on. They're experts.
Scott. Just before we started this, I said, "No, we got to have this discussion on the air because people right now are already planning. You have people who will do the last minute planning of the Super Bowl party. It'll be like Saturday night, and they'll go, "Oh, hold on a minute, isn't the Super Bowl tomorrow? I'm having some friends over. I'm going to get some chips and
some dip,
a 7-layer dip, I guess,
French onion dip.
What else is there? I'm going to grab some sodas, and then they
get
and
a vegetable tray.
Right, ends up being bad.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And so."
Worst thing in the world is a vegetable tray, just so you know. It's the best thing, but it's the worst thing.
I know.
It's just so, so healthy.
So, you're a food guru, a furu. So, I want to know what the number one thing is that Scott Mitchell's.
Chicken wings. Not even.
See, and I thought you would have said ribs.
Well, ribs are different, though.
Well, yeah, they're good. They're better than
I don't know
wings.
If they're better.
Yes, they are.
But they're just more complicated. It takes if you're going to do ribs right, it takes me 6 hours to do ribs, and it doesn't take that long to do chicken wings. They're a little bit easier to consume.
Ribs are for people you love. Chicken wings are like, hey, we've got a lot of people
Super Bowl
coming
part,
over.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
I get
ribs
it.
To me is this. That's a good way to put it. Ribs.
Because your ribs are better. And I will say, your ribs are fantastic.
I don't know if they're better, but.
I do. I think they're absolutely. And part of it is because of the waiting around part. I don't know if there's a have to. For me, nachos are a big deal.
Well, yeah, nachos.
Pizza's
for me.
A big deal if it's there.
No, not
like
pizza.
It. Why?
It's complicated. You need simple items that are not.
How are chicken wings not complicated?
They're simple. You dip them in the sauce and you eat them. And it's and it's got a little bit of meat on it. You know what I mean? But it's not like a whole. Yeah.
It's not
like a whole chicken.
No. Okay,
it's just a little part.
Well, look, that's just a little bonus extra something for you if you're listening to the show tonight.
And good dip. I mean, if you have good dips, like there's queso dips that are really good. Right. There's some artichoke spinach dips that are good.
You mean for your ribs?
No,
I mean for your chicken wings.
Yeah, no, to have at the Super Bowl
with your veggie tray that you don't want to eat.
Not having the veggie tray. But you have your Texas caviar.
That's my classic. Mm-hmm. All right, Scott. It's that part of the show where we get to drown our sorrows in some great NFL music.
The NFL, Alex, only has one more game where you're going to see a 2-minute drill.
Yes,
but you get to see one every night on our show, and that continues all the way through the year. 52 weeks of the year, we have 2-minute drills, and so we have a lot to talk about. Not a lot of time to do it, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things.
Right.
We go down the field, and we win the show.
Let's hope we do it right here. Let's bring up our first topic here. The Pro Bowl is going to be testing some new rules, including, I guess, on behalf of the NFL. I mean, it's an NFL thing. What?
I just laugh because no one's going to watch this.
I know.
Like, it's like I just think about this, and it's like, yeah, okay, fine. Test out these rules.
But we're going to put the Pro Bowl the week between the Super Bowl. That way, everybody will have to watch it. Nobody still watches it. So the Pro Bowl is going to be next week, and no one's going to watch it. But they're going to have new rules that they're going to try out, including and by the way, these are 100% ripped off from the AAF,
right,
who did this last year in their league. No kickoff. You're going to just start from the 25-yard line. So you've got some time saved there. And if you want to have some sort of a version of an onside kick, instead of doing an onside kick, you can just choose to. If you score within 2 minutes or whatever it is at the end of the game, you can just opt to have the ball on your own 25-yard line, 4th and 15. And if you convert that, then you have basically just regular downs from there out. So those are the two changes. Scott, your version of what the Pro Bowl is trying to do. I think this would at least make things a little bit more exciting in football.
They're going to make it more exciting. What, to not have a kickoff? That's going to be more exciting?
You've been saying for years that you'd want to eliminate kickers somehow in the game, and there you go.
I'll tell you what I do. I like the onside. I like the old version, but I think I have a good solution, and that is have the punter come in and punt the ball. And then everyone goes down the field like it's 500, you know, where whoever catches it gets 100 points. But if you catch the ball,
that's not going to be a dangerous situation.
Well, no, they're not going to be collisions.
They're not going to be collisions?
They may be trying to climb all.
It's the worst kind of collision. It's the one where no one's looking, and then they just run into each other.
You can't run into them. You got to go up in the air. And the ball is live.
Okay,
so it could go on the ground.
You've straight up gone full Vince McMahon on this thing. Wow. They're going to have a ball in the air. They're going to have to catch it. It's going to be dropped out of a blimp. And if you catch it, you get to keep the ball, and you get $1 million. So they're just trying things out. I'm fine with it because I will actually tune into not the Pro Bowl
itself.
That's
why they're doing it.
I'm not going to tune into the Pro Bowl itself.
It's a gimmick to get people to watch.
I'm just going to watch the highlights of it on ESPN later that night to see if something happened if somebody goes for it on 4th and 15. All right. Now, by the way, speaking of the NFL, the draft is going to be in Vegas.
Yes.
We're pulling a lot of strings to try to be able to get there. We're going to go to it.
Yeah.
The NFL draft on going to Vegas, it's going to be at the Bellagio, by the way.
Right.
And not only that, they have the stage, the Bellagio, the Cirque du Soleil O show, which I've been to, is amazing. It's a water show, and the stage is a full, you know, it's like two Olympic swimming pools put together on this massive stage. Yeah. The draft is going to be on that stage with the water out. The artist's rendering of the picture has a boat that the players would take from one side. It's like going to Venice or something, and then like one side of the thing, you get drafted, you have to get taken over to the commissioner on a boat.
I can only imagine.
Do you want to imagine, or do you want to actually hear what it'll sound like?
Here
we go.
In the 2019 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Quarterback, Oklahoma.
They got to fire it up.
So it is.
Yep. You got to get on it. Take that 40-foot or that 31-foot ride over to the commissioner. You get over there. It dies as soon as you get over there.
Get the congratulations. The old Evan root out. Outboard motor.
Get the six horsepower Johnson.
In a flat bottom John boat.
Have it sponsored by the Flex Seal guy. I'm in a clear boat. Flex Seal here. My question is this, though. I mean, they're going to have these guys ride the boat over to the commissioner.
See the boat like stalling.
Hold on, let me get it.
Commissioner have to say it over and over again.
Or him throwing an oar at him and they have to get it. My question is this, though. With them doing this, or with them having it with the boat out there, what is that actually like? I'm trying to figure out what the benefit would be of having it over this water. I can just see all these sorts of groups going. Yeah, you should be having these athletes wear these. Could you imagine if somebody fell into the water? Someone drowns on draft night. That's a deep pool there.
Yeah, it's a deep pool.
Are they going to make them wear the life jacket over the tuxedo? Otherwise, it's going to be a bad example
like
to the kids,
and
man.
Flippers.
It's going to be a bad
flop onto the stage.
The kids aren't going to look. Parents aren't going to want their kids to tune in. They go, "Why is Kyler Murray not wearing a life jacket, Daddy?" Well. And the commissioner's not going to... He's going to be at that podium, and he's going to have to be buckled in. OSHA's going to have him, like, with one of those back straps to the floor. No,
he's going to have on swim trunks and a T-shirt.
Right.
He's going to have white on his nose.
Just in case he falls in. Just in case his life guard. This is what the NFL has come to for the NFL draft. But that's what you get when you go to Vegas. Kyler Murray, speaking of which... Kyler Murray says he would still love to try to figure out how to play Major League Baseball and the NFL in the same year. But his Cardinals contract says not going to happen. Now, we used to allow this, Scott. Why would we not allow the two-sport athlete anymore in professional sports?
Well, I think it happens, but I think they're afraid that maybe if he goes and tastes baseball, he may never come back again. So they've got the hooks in him, and I'm sure they want to keep him around. I just have to, with a quarterback... Throwing in like spring training or going in a cold weather place and risking a significant arm injury because you throw a lot. And I believe Kyler Murray was like a shortstop. So he's going to be making some big time throws. You know, it's not like he plays first base or even second base. But I would be scared to death to let a guy go and risk his throwing arm in another sport. I mean, maybe if he's an outfielder, it's even a better deal.
Look, put him in the bullpen. Give him a telescope and an Apple Watch. He can be a part of anybody's team. You want to be on our team? We think you have an exceptional talent of being able to spot those pitches and to relay it to the guys.
What's your vision? You a 2020 guy?
You a 2020 guy? All right, we're taking the break here. Scott, do you have fun tonight?
Always.
We'll see you tomorrow then. For Scott, I'm Alex. Thanks for being with us. Our producer, Jeremy, and Amber hitting all the buttons. We'll see you next time.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.